Welcome to the DLG Q1 trading update call. My name is Ruby, and I'll be your moderator for today's call. If you would like to ask a question during the presentation, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. I will now hand over to our host, Penny James, CEO of DLG, to begin.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our first quarter update. Now, it's only been 7 weeks since we presented the full year results, but Neil and I thought that we'd take the opportunity to update you on our trading strategy and a bit of operational progress through what's been a pretty busy first quarter. Before we jump to questions, though, let me just pull out a few of the key messages from the release. Firstly, overall premium reduced 2.4% in Q1, which was broadly in line with our expectations as we outlined at year-end. In motor, firstly, whilst the market saw pricing inflation in January as it implemented the FCA pricing practices review, we believe the market pricing hasn't yet fully covered claims inflation from the last 18 months. Against this backdrop, we've remained disciplined and held back in the quarter by deferring marketing spend until later in the year when we can see the benefit. It remains early, but in April, we have seen some price increases in the market. In home, where the FCA pricing practices has had a more material impact, we've seen market movements within our expected range of outcomes. Our priority has been to focus on value whilst the market adjusts, and so we've lost some new business volume in Q1 against a strong comparator of Q1 last year. And as we've moved through Q1 and into Q2, our actions to increasingly optimize across brands and to re-energize marketing again should enable us to improve competitiveness as the year progresses. In commercial in Q1, we've maintained the double-digit growth we saw in 2021 and have also had a strong April, one of our biggest months. Secondly, we reported at full year our plans for 2022, where exciting new capabilities will come on stream. And looking back on Q1, I'm really pleased with the progress that we've made. We're delivering a step change in our motor pricing capability, and this has seen the development of machine learning models that are more advanced than anything that we have used before. We've got plenty more to come throughout the year, and as new models are deployed, and this builds on our market-leading claims capability, improving expense base and fantastic brands, we're really excited at what the team is starting to achieve and the benefits to the business these capabilities will bring. Finally, our disciplined approach, alongside significant pricing capability coming online throughout the rest of the year, means we're able to reiterate our combined operating ratio target of 93 to 95% in 2022. So overall, a significant market adjustment in Q1 means we believe the trading performance isn't entirely representative of where we are in our transformation. There is real energy and ambition in the business as we continue to roll out this year's plans. And with those remarks, let me just hand over to Ruby and open up the line for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure you are unmuted locally. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. Our first question is from Tom Bateman of Berenberg. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Oh, hey. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for the colour you've given on the results today. I was just hoping you could give us a few more details on the pricing movements in April that you've seen that you think are positive. And just on your reiterating the combined ratio guidance of 93 to 95%, can you give any more sort of details about where you are in the range? I think you implied that home would be kind of in the low 90s. Is that correct? And finally, you talked about new products. When should we expect them to come to the market? And what kind of margin do you expect to write those at? Thank you.
Okay, lots in there, I think. What I'll do is I'll come to Neil in a second on outlook type stuff and probably step back slightly on pricing so we've got the full picture and then touch on April if that's okay. What do I think overall is happening in the market, and then I'll come to April. Firstly, in motor, what are the components of the numbers? One, and probably the biggest component of the 5% movement is actually the GWP reduction. It's actually simply the flow through of the 2021 kind of reductions in pricing that reflect long-term structural frequency shift. So I think that element's natural. I think we've adjusted and we've seen the whole market adjust for pricing practices in January and put through a mid-single-digit rate increase there. So that has done kind of what you'd expect. I think in terms of market pricing more fully, you know, we still haven't seen pricing go through reflecting kind of the last 18 months or so of claims inflation. So what we saw in April was, a few points going in from some key players. So a not insignificant movement in April from some parts of the market, but it's one data point, so it's far too early to call that a sustained movement. And I think finally, what we've seen in Q1 is we've seen some claims inflation increases. I think we called out at year end 6.5%. We've seen a little more claims inflation come through and a little better frequency. So that's kind of the shape. April, good data point, but only one data point, is what I'd say. I think in terms of, do you want to touch on outlook, Neil?
Yeah, morning, Tom. So on core guidance, I mean, not a lot to say versus 7 weeks ago, to be honest. So no material shifts. The kind of outlook for home, still low 90s core, exactly as you said.
And then I think the final question was around what products and options and so on are available to us. I think we've got kind of lots in the hopper around marketing, which is what I've really flagged. We'll have product development as we move through the year, as you say, using the variety of brands and so on. But I guess the key point is your last point around margins, where we always look to write at the right margins, which is why we're able to reiterate the core, and we will use, you know, creativity on product brand and, you know, pockets of pricing where we can get the right margins away in this environment to do that. But we will also keep back our marketing to the extent that we need to if we don't think we can get it away at the right margins.
Okay, that's really, really, maybe just one very quick follow-up. Just on motor, you're saying it's down 5%. Do you think this is a little bit more direct line specific, given kind of new business price increases are probably up year on year in the quarter, Q1 year on year? Maybe some other players have seen positive increases in premiums? Is that...
The ABI market data is not out yet. I think it's due later in this week, but certainly soon. But if I look back at last year, most of this rate is about last year flowing through. And if I look at last year, most of the market moved, as we've said before, we moved shallower, if you like, in those reductions than the market did. So it's not clear to me that the market would necessarily, as a result of that, be significantly different.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much for your time. Good day.
We do have further telephone questions, but as a reminder, it is star followed by one should you wish to ask a question. Please keep a limit to 2 questions per person in order to reach as many as we can this morning. Our next question is from Greg Patterson of KBW. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
Hi, Greg. You're loud and clear.
Good, good. Just in terms of, and I'm just thinking about the second quarter expectations. You guys adjusted for the movement down in expected long-term frequency at the end of the first quarter last year. And you're now sort of pointing to year-on-year severity of sort of 8.5-9.5% currently. given that, you know, in the second quarter last year and the second quarter this year, you're both pricing on this adjusted long-term frequency number, does that mean all other things equal, we expect year-on-year rate increases of 8.5 to 9.5% in the second quarter? I don't know if you understand. It's a bit of a convoluted question, but the bottom line is, in the second quarter, your frequency expectation will be the same as the second quarter last year. This is the way I read it. So therefore, you'll be putting through high price increases. And I just want to confirm that my understanding is correct. The second question, well, second part of the first question, given that I'm only not two, is you speak about frequency being below long-term expectations in the first quarter of this year. You also spoke about it in the second half of last year being below long-term. I was just trying to understand how the frequency in the first quarter, the actual frequency experienced in the first quarter, compares to the second half of last year. And then finally, in terms of advertising spend, which is an important lever, about 2 weeks ago you turned on the lever in motor. I was wondering if there's been a corresponding sharp uptick in your new business marketing market share as a function of that. Thank you.
Right, let me start, Greg. I'll try and do those in reverse order, and if I forget bits of it, I apologise and you can come back. So on advertising, so it's kind of two forms of advertising. We're always in the market on kind of performance marketing, so pay-per-click, looking at optimising how we get customers through the top of the funnel. So we're constantly in the market doing that. And where we're talking about pulling back is more on the kind of brand marketing. And so you were seeing we've launched some exciting, we think they're exciting, campaigns in April around Optimus Prime, and we've got some more stuff coming through the year. That doesn't have an immediate impact on volumes. There's much more brand health, so you see that benefit over a longer time period. But as I said, we're always in the market doing the performance marketing, which has much more direct impact on quotes through the door. On frequency, you're right. Frequency in Q1 was a bit below where we think ultimately frequency will end up. And you're right, it was also a bit lower in the second half of last year. But I think we are working through to a more normal frequency pattern. And don't forget, we had a Micron at the back end of last year that flowed a bit into this quarter as well. So there's still quite a lot of noise in the numbers, but we're definitely getting back towards where we would expect long-term frequency or medium-term frequency to be. In terms of the first question, I'm not going to predict what I think premium numbers are going to do in the second quarter, because I certainly shouldn't do that anyway. I think the flow through, or as Penny mentioned, a lot of the Q1 dynamics is more about what happened last year than it is this year, and the flow through of the kind of frequency related price reductions. That continues through the year. So I don't think it just stopped in Q1. It's a continuation factor. Continue factor. And obviously there's other things going on. I mean, I think that, you know, there's still whiplash reforms, frequency, severity going on, things. There's a lot of moving parts going on. So I'm not going to give you the exact number, but I think the dynamics as they go through the year improve from a kind of year-on-year or Q1 previous year's quarter perspective. However, we are still operating within the market. And if the market isn't pricing claims inflation, and we will be disciplined in how we approach that market.
Is my understanding correct that during pandemic you didn't price for low frequency, but at the end of the first quarter last year you made a distinct change for your expectation of lower long-term ongoing frequency, and therefore that year-on-year base effect falls away in the second quarter of this year?
Broadly, but I'd say we started to price for it. So it's not like it's not necessarily a switch across the whole book. So it was coming over time.
And when did you finish that process of adjusting to the new norm in terms of your price?
Across
Across the year, Greg. I can't give you a precise date.
Smooth impact across the year. No, that's great. All right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Our next question is from Freya Kong of Bank of America. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Morning, Freya.
Good morning. So you guys talked a bit about motor pricing not really catching up with claims inflation, but could you give us some color about the home dynamics and any early indicators in April as well? And secondly, given the tough market conditions that you're seeing, would it be fair to say that your growth plans could be delayed or hampered by these headwinds? Thanks.
Thanks, Brett. Yeah, a couple of minutes on home then. I think in home the dynamics are similar, but the balance is slightly different. So the PPR, price and practices effects, are more significant in home relative to motor, if you like. And I think the first kind of important point there is that the market made a pretty sensible move, we think, in January in terms of moving new business rates, and that was certainly within our range of outcomes. So, and that's, I think, the most important kind of point on home coming in. What did we do? Well, we differentiated using kind of the brand portfolio. And as we said at full year, we're focused in Q1 on protecting value, really. So we didn't fight aggressively for business coming in. Rather, we wanted to see how customers were reacting and how competitors were reacting in that market, and then would move into what we felt was the right competitive price point as we move forward. So what you can see is kind of a reset point, certainly for home, but also we'd expect to grow from there as we improve competitiveness through Q1 and into Q2 due to both optimising the pricing and the brands and re-energising the marketing as well. So I think that's the shape. In terms of claims inflation as sort of the other effect, if you like, I think as we flagged at as we flagged at the full year results, the market put through a 5-point give or take price reduction just before it came into pricing practices. So whilst it's made the adjustment for pricing practices, I'm not sure it's caught that up. And what we're seeing now is kind of, I guess, an elevated claims inflation, but not, which isn't fully priced, especially in the PCW channel. So we're starting to see that pick up. And as we look ahead, even though we can't see, we see that cover a minor elevation, if you like, at the moment, nowhere near as significant as we're seeing on motor. But if we look at what is happening in supply chains and, elsewhere, labour markets, China, Ukraine, and the effects on the supply chains, would expect to see that elevation continue to increase in home. And that does feel as though it's moved since, in terms of outlook since the full year results. So, and what we're saying is we'll keep a disciplined approach, which is why we're reiterating the 90s core guidance or low 90s core guidance on the home book. In terms of growth, look, we'll keep looking for the pockets where the margins are right. That's what we do. We focus on the places that we can get growth away at the right margins. The timing and the impact on top line will be determined effectively by how much availability of that there is in the market. And we will be well positioned, as I've said, on a number of accounts, as and if the market starts to put price through that we think reflects claims inflation more broadly. And that is something that historically the market has always done.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, are you surprised by how slow the market response has been in home and motor to price for claims inflation? I mean, most players do seem quite rational and sensible.
I think in home, things are moving, and we're looking ahead when we look at claims inflation. So, I think the market's been through quite a considerable adjustment. in this quarter. So I'm not sure I'm surprised or not by anything. If I stand back overall, given the scale of pricing practices as a reset in the quarter, largely the market has done what we expect it to do. I think it's what it does forward-looking that matters, if you like, from here, in what is quite a different set of macroeconomics than what it was 2 months ago. So that's on home. On motor, there are many, many, you know, we've already laid out, there are many moving parts, Freya. And people took very different paths through last year in terms of the amount of rate they took out for frequency and so on the way through. I think the truth is that we are seeing, you know, claims inflation continuing to elevate at the moment. You know, what other players choose to do with that, I can't express.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, guys.
Our next question is from Faizan Lakhami of HSBC. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I'm sorry if I missed this, but I'm not quite followed what's happened to renewal pricing in either motor or home this quarter. If you could provide some color around how that's different between the two. And I guess in relation to that, I'm a little bit surprised by the fact that new business pricing sort of popped in January a little bit, but flattened in February and March. What's driving that? You know, is there a case that, you know, there was a big sort of distortion in January and now, you know, February and March are more what the market thinks they need to price in? And I guess just a bit more broader base as well, given the pricing, given the sort of inflation outlook, how do you expect the sort of underlying margin or the attritional loss ratio to develop in motor in 2022? And the final question, so just coming back to the question from Greg on sort of claims frequency, you know, if I look at it, January was probably where we had a bit of a lockdown, driving was probably still a bit below, we're still seeing people work from home, but at the same time, I don't feel claims frequency from the sense I get is more than sort of sub 5% below sort of pre-COVID level. If you just sort of help me understand what's really going on there. Thank you.
I think we're dividing about six questions between us as we sit here. So why don't I kick off and then you can. I think let me do the shape a little bit in the first quarter, come back on that one, and I suspect Neil may come back on sort of renewal pricing and premiums and that sort of thing. But I can't tell you what was in people's minds in other businesses at the point they put pricing through. My observation would be, at the point the pricing practices went live, the market made a step change adjustment which was consistent with what we had modelled that the market might do on motor, in both of them, was within the range of what we expected. So my deduction from that is the market has adjusted for pricing practices. You can't see what people have done on renewal pricing, obviously, at the moment. You'll get a better picture as and when sort of ABI data comes out and so on and so forth, because that's less visible as you're operating in the market on any one day. But you have seen shopping kind of reduce a little, or actually people switching reduce, which probably indicates that renewal prices have responded. So I think that's kind of... overall, I think why people are or aren't moving in February and March, I can't answer for. All I can give you is the effects that we are seeing and the way we're responding to them, which is what we've got to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything you want to add?
Yeah, well, I'll just try and help you a bit out on the kind of the underlying movement. So, you know, at the headline, you can see the 5% reduction in written premium. Sorry, this is for motor. And if you kind of break that down, about 3 points of that 5-point reduction is average premium driven. And within that, the vast majority of that 3% is exactly the flow through of the pricing Q1 versus Q1, so that we talked about before. And actually the impact from pricing practices within that is pretty neutral. Now, I'm not going to break down the renewal price impact versus the new business price impact, but you can take it as actually that those two neutralise. each other roughly within that construct. If I kind of do the same, let me finish the motor first. Actually, I'll come on to your margin question. So when we talk about margins, we're looking to price to a loss ratio, and we exited last year at a pricing loss ratio that supported the current year loss ratio for motor around 79%, which is what we booked in the second half of last year, and we're still pricing to the loss ratios that support that dynamic. I think that's the best way I can answer that one. Obviously, I can't talk for others in the market how they're pricing versus claims inflation. I think you asked about home renewal pricing as well. So let me just try and finish off there. So on home, if I look at the same construct as the motor answer has given you, so for own brands, home premium was down about 8% Q1 on Q1. Now within that, actually average premium was up 4%. So in home, there's a much bigger impact on new business volumes, and that's because of the trading strategy we deployed at home, and we've talked at length about how pricing practice has a bigger impact on the home book than the motor book. So average premium in home is up 4%. And again, I'm not going to split that out between new and renewal, but you can kind of have a it gives you, hopefully gives you some colour.
Yeah, that's pretty helpful.
Thanks.
Our next question is from Rhea Shah of Deutsche Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just two questions from me. So the first is on the home retention. You talk about retention increasing in the quarter. I just wanted to see if you could give any colour on the numbers, but also could it be one-off if you're now thinking of pricing more aggressively from the second quarter onwards? And then the second question is just around what do you need to really occur to start to market those top brands again? I get that you started the superhero campaign, but you're talking about marketing over the rest of the year. Could we end up having to wait until the fourth quarter for marketing, or could it happen earlier?
So let me pick up the second one first. So the marketing shape, look, the brand path is not locked in stone, but is largely set for the year. So that shape is ramping, as you can see, Optimus Prime appearing in large scale on your screens. And there are some follow-ons and, some further characters to join them. And there's campaigns, and Churchill set out for later in the year, campaigns on rescue less relevant to the motor question. So those paths are set. We can dial up or dial down, but broadly they are set to navigate from Q2 onwards. So I think that path is clear. There is some flex. As Neil said, we're always in the market doing the spend to sort of draw into the funnel, and we dial that up or down depending on what we think the efficiency of that is at any point in time. And the efficiency of that spend is a kind of factor of who else is driving hard in the market, be that PCW's competitors completely, elsewhere, and a factor of the margins in the business that you're writing. And we dial up and down that efficiency accordingly, as any sophisticated, I think, marketing player would do. And so to that extent, that is a sort of a more moderated, if you like, flexible lever as well. But I don't think it's a matter of waiting for Q4. It's a matter of dialing that up at the relevant time. In terms of, I think you asked a question on pricing, and we will put through the price that we think is appropriate to hold the margins that we need to across the book. Do I think retention is a blip? I suspect retention is a feature of the market more broadly, because it's about how many people are, what people's activity on price comparison sites.
Our next question is from Kamran Hossain of JP Morgan. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hey, morning.
Hi, Cam.
Main question. Hey, Fanny. the main question I had is really on, I mean, you know, I guess a lot of the discussion today has been about market pricing and why things haven't reacted. I mean, if you were going to kind of think about the drivers on what will change, you know, market and, you know, kind of what, you know, the influence kind of pricing going forward, what factors do you think will need to be kind of apparent for the market pricing to really move up to levels that you think are acceptable? And how long do you think, I mean, maybe not how long do you think this will take, but what are the factors that need to be there? Is it kind of worse results for the industry, or, you know, or do you think actually other parts of the market are simply looking at, you know, kind of potentially like a lower profit paradigm where, you know, things, you know, we just accept structurally lower returns because retention is high. So any kind of big bits of thoughts on that within the confines of what you can and can't say would be really helpful. Thank you.
I think it's a really interesting question, Cam. I think I've probably said before that if I look historically, the last, I don't know, 10 years, whatever, the market adjusts to reflect claims inflation. It basically prices claims inflation. But it does so, the glorious thing about insurance is you don't know the cost of sales until after you've sold it, so not everybody does it at the same time. And that's what, if you track the graphs back, it would tell you. And where you see a one-off certain move, Ogden rate changes, pricing practices, you actually, again, see a step change happen in the market. So I'm somewhat, I can't climb inside other people's minds, but I'm somewhat sceptical that what we have is some structural change that says the underlying margins that the market is driving for has fundamentally changed, because I just don't think I don't think that the evidence point of January would support that, the evidence point of Ogden, and frankly the historic evidence points. So I'm not sure that that's the case. Others may have a different view. I think much more likely that there are so many moving parts. It's been a very unusual couple of years in terms of the kind of volatility of different factors, frequency, now severity because of macroeconomics, overlaid with regulatory changes that sort of change the whole pricing dynamics of the market. And it's quite unusual to get quite as many kind of, volatile features operating in a marketplace as that, or, you know, and so I still believe, as I said at year end, that the, as everything evens out and frequency normalizes, which it's probably approaching doing, and it is significantly below historic levels, so I think it's natural that rates don't come back up to the rates they were before the market, because frequency is, I think we all believe, structurally dropped now. That actually, as those things level out, people will reassess what's in their models. I think the unusual factor at the moment is clearly severity is moving faster, if you like, than it usually does, and I think that's true across all consumer segments. I don't think that's anything special about the insurance industry. How people respond to that will be interesting to watch. But I don't really believe there is some mass structural shift in terms of people's appetite to make margins. I think it's much more about what's moving in the marketplace at the moment.
Thanks, Penny. That's very clear. Thank you.
Thanks, Cam.
Our next question is from Alexander Evans of Credit Suisse. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, Penny. Hi, Neil. I just wanted to clarify. I just wanted to clarify that I was sort of reading this correctly, because in your release you're talking about protecting value, and if I look at sort of home numbers, it would suggest that, you know, you're more protecting volume than the loss ratio. But by the sounds of it, you're sort of pricing, you're pretty happy, comfortable pricing for the level of claims inflation you're seeing in the market. And then maybe just on sort of the shape of, we would think about 1Q combined ratio, let's say it suggests sort of higher inflation, maybe offset by frequency, and then is that sort of a sort of lower expense ratio that you would see in 1Q given the marketing? And then if I could just ask on sort of the market in general, it seems there's sort of a slight increase in product offerings, but maybe sort of lower coverages. Is that something that you're seeing in the market, and, you know, is that sort of deflationary to market price as you see it?
Why don't I do the pricing bit, and then I'll pass to Neil for the expenses bit, and then the product. So I think if I look in motor coming out of Q1, what are we saying? We're saying we've been pricing claims of inflation. Actually, as we move through the end of Q1, it's notched up again on the damage side. And actually, our Q1 margins are fine because frequency has been a notch lower than our assumptions. So that's really what we're saying. So claims inflation marginally above, frequency marginally below, to net out, margins fine, is kind of what we're saying on Q1. In home, similar but subtly different, in as much as we anticipated the fact that there would be claims inflation increases coming forward, and we put that through prices in the early part of Q4 last year. And you may recall we lost competitiveness in the last quarter. So at the point that the market dropped rate out, we were putting increasing our claims inflation assumptions there. So we're actually pretty comfortable with the margins on home that we've seen through the first quarter. And actually, we're still seeing a pretty consistent level of claims inflation. But if you think about the way the supply chains work and our contracts work with people, you kind of get delayed effects on some of those things. So you're sheltered for a spell from inflation, but as some of those contracts reset, you reset accordingly. And second, I think, you know, if you look back 6 months ago, we were probably, people were focused on construction costs, which is a relatively small part of the book. If we look at the impact or potential impacts of lockdowns in China, impacts of the Ukraine situation on supply chains more broadly and so on, then what we're saying is if we look at the consumer indices and so on, we would anticipate seeing an increase as we move through the year in home. So we're kind of looking ahead. So if I look at the numbers today that actually are happening through the book at the end of Q1, fine, in line with what we told you at year end, slightly above our normal range priced for in home. If we look forward, we see further pressure coming in terms of claims inflation. So hopefully that kind of splits out the dynamics in terms of how we're thinking about claims inflation. Do you want to pick up the other?
Let me just do cost, because that's part of your question as well. So no change on how we think about costs. Still targeting absolute reduction this year, which is what I set out at year end. In terms of the impact of marketing spend on that, there's actually not a really big impact because marketing spend is deferred over 12 months. So it's not like if you stop for a quarter, you don't have any spend that quarter. You've still got the spend from the previous three quarters deferring through. So it doesn't have as a dramatic effect as you might think initially on marketing.
And then I think there was a question on products in the marketplace. What are we seeing in the marketplace? I think you're saying, you know, we've always said to you that we think pricing practices sort of encourages you to, one of the positives for us is that we have a variety of brands that we can use in different ways, and you're seeing us use those brands in quite different ways in the marketplace, and that will amplify. I think similarly you're seeing some other players, more essentials products out there. So you are seeing some step-back products in that sense coming into the market. I think you probably increasingly see different marketing strategies around, people trialing different ways of attracting customers. It's still very early days, I think. Don't underestimate the fact that it was a big operational exercise to get, the whole market shifting the way it prices in a very, very short deadline. So you have seen some changes and some, differences from, those kind of product features and marketing features. But I suspect the market will continue to evolve and be creative over the coming year as it turns its mind to that rather than just literally getting compliant.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Our next question is from Will Hardcastle of UBS. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Morning, Will.
Morning, everyone. A quick one on frequency returning to more normal levels, motor specific. Or I guess your point, trending towards more normal levels. Have you seen any early signs going the other way, actually, of less miles being driven given the rise in petrol or diesel, et cetera? And the second one is just thinking about, I apologize, it's a question on stuff you haven't talked about today. It's on investment return expectations. You gave helpful guidance just 7 weeks ago, as you mentioned, of the 1.7 and the 1.8 to 1.9 for 22 and 23. Any update on those you can give at this stage? Obviously, we've had continued movement year to date since then.
Yeah, thanks, Will. I'll take those. And no need to apologise for the investment question. So as a lookout, so 2022, the guidance again at year end, I think holds. The pickup we can, the yield pickup we can take depends on when assets mature. And so through this year, I think the guidance again at year end 1.7 still holds true. I think you're right. Yield risk-free and spreads have moved out since we talked about the 1.8 to 1.9. So on the basis that they hold and the maturities flow, you might see a bit of upside to that. I don't want to bank it in yet because obviously spreads are moving around quite a lot at the moment given the macro environment. But I think if current spreads and yields and rates hold, there might be a little bit of upside to that 1.8 to 1.9 if we look out in the outer years. On frequency, yes, trending back to normal. Obviously, still a bit of noise in the numbers. We had some storms during the first quarter, which put a bit of noise in the numbers as well. I wouldn't yet say that we've seen a dramatic or a meaningful change from petrol prices, but it is quite early, given they only started moving a few weeks ago. And obviously, there is a lot of pressure in the system from a consumer perspective. So not seen it yet, but we're watching frequency numbers very carefully.
And to a simple mind like myself, does that tend to take a little bit of time normally when it comes through, or would we expect an immediate impact?
Look, it's been a long time since we've had this set of circumstances. I think it would take time to come through. I don't think it would be a one-off impact.
Yeah, but behavioural factors tend to take time to adjust generally.
Great, thank you.
Our next question is from Nick Johnson of Numis. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Hi
there. Two questions, please. Firstly, on combined ratio, I think it's quite surprising you've been able to maintain guidance despite negative jaws in motor tightening through Q1. You've mentioned the frequency benefit. Just wondering, have you seen any unusual positives on the back book that may have been helpful in Q1? How is the back book performing relative to expectations? If you could cover that one off, please. And then on sales volumes, just wondering if you've seen any headwinds in Q1 from reduced propensity to buy discretionary insurance, such as home contents, and also, I guess, sort of voluntary excess levels, given cost of living pressures. Might be too early to say, in which case, what have you seen historically? Appreciate the current situation is unprecedented, but any insight on that would be helpful. Thanks.
Thanks, Nick. Let me take the first one, and then Penny will do the second one. So on the combined ratio, I think it's two factors, really. One is that we maintained our discipline through last year and into this year, and that's what enables us to. So we didn't cut rates as fast as some of the market, and we were rating and we've been pricing the claims inflation. So that gives us the quality of earned premium as we flow into this year. So I think it's the first point, and we'll continue to do that. Secondly, in terms of the what's happening in the back book, I think what I'd say is that we reserved appropriately healthily at year end, so we continue to see positive runoff on the back book, which supports prior year releases, which is obviously a component of the combined ratio.
I think on the cost of living effect, Nick. Look, it's a long time since we've been in a position quite like this from an economic perspective. So I think at the moment it's difficult to see, given you've restructured how renewal pricing is happening, the biggest effect at the moment is actually people's prices are probably not significantly increasing on renewals, in a gross generalisation, but you can see from the numbers that generally from a consumer perspective, average premiums are looking positive. So for in motor, premiums are probably the same levels as they were in 2015. So in some ways, you've got that countering what people are naturally feeling across the whole of their, the whole of their sort of personal finances. So I think the anecdotal comment would be there are lots of conversations on the contact centres with people who are very conscious about what energy bills are doing and will be doing. I think in practical terms in the numbers, it's very difficult to see anything at this point. Would I logically expect in the long run that people might be more conscious of their discretionary mileage? Absolutely. But actually, people have made quite a structural shift anyway on mileage, so again, it's difficult to pull that apart. The other place you normally see recessionary factors is in fraud, levels going up, not seeing any dramatic shapes at the moment, and we have, we believe, the strongest fraud function in the industry, so we kind of feel pretty positively positioned on that at the moment. So I would go for a bit early and probably clouded by all the other factors going on at the moment. To see what might happen in the, you know, in a year's time, if you like, if it's carried on.
Understood. Okay. Thank you very much.
Our next question is from Yudhish Chakuri of Autonomous Research. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Morning.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. My first question is really on the premium increases you've seen in motor in April. I was wondering if you could give us a sense of the magnitude of rate rises you've seen and whether that is across the market or solely focused on new business. And then separately, just in terms of trading in Q1, I think in your release you mentioned that trading was in line with your expectations. So I was wondering if you could tell us what your expectations are in home and motor, either in terms of policy count or premiums in the coming quarters, please.
Look, we've seen two or three big players put through a couple of points in April, which in itself is one data point and shouldn't be overread, but it's quite a significant move compared to what we've seen in the previous few months, so we'll see. So to be meaningful, it needs to be, given the gap that we believe is there, that would have to be sustained over a period if the market's to hold margins at pre-pandemic levels is probably the way I should say it, but that's what we're seeing. I'm not sure we'll give you a future-looking forecast by quarter on premium shapes. I think we've indicated already what the factors are that we're considering while we do it, that we'll go for pockets of growth that we can while, we think the market is not broadly running at the right margin and as it starts to move on that, then we will be well positioned for growth because of all the capabilities we've put in.
Okay, but I think sense, would you say having flattish, policy count at least in motor and home would be a good outcome, more like a realistic outcome?
Look, we believe that we're in a good position to grow from here, as and when the market kind of adjusts, and in home more broadly as we start to step into it. I think you can see what that will do for policy count. I mean, in motor, we're only down, 0.5% in policy count. So I don't think we are seeing some big degradation of policy count. It's pretty minor. So, I think you can see what will happen there. Home, is a bigger gap to close. So I don't think we'd expect to see that back in year-on-year growth this year. That would be quite a dramatic thing.
All right, got it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Our next question is from Alan Devlin of Goldman Sachs. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi guys. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Most of my questions have been asked, but but a couple more. As you mentioned, this has been a massive shift in the market with the PPR. I'm just interested in what, are you seeing any kind of structural shift in how people are buying insurance, either through PZWs or direct level of shopping, etc.? And you mentioned you've obviously got lots of different brands to play it. Are any particular brands actually resonating better than you'd expected going into PPR, and any brands not doing as a not doing as well? And given you have launched your new marketing in April, is that kind of a good sign actually you think things are kind of settling down, that you're willing to push the button on a big on the start of the big brand push? Thanks, guys.
So loads of interesting stuff in there, Alan. I think so. Consumer behaviour at the moment, I think we're seeing, we're flagged at year end, we were seeing lots of people shopping around, less people actually switching. And I think that is sort of the Q1 behaviour set, if you like. And retention positive. I can't see what the market's doing, obviously, but that's sort of a natural outworking, and certainly that's what we have seen. I feel the difference between the short and the middle term and the long run, Alan. So the market has kind of got over the line introducing a complex, operational change, if you want a better description. And customers have started experiencing what that does, if you like. Now, over time, what will be interesting, if retention rates carry on staying where they are, which is sort of a natural outworking of that, it will be interesting to watch how the different distribution sort of mechanisms respond to that. And that's why I say it's very early days, because you would expect the PCWs and any other distribution mechanisms to be trialing different things and different approaches. Some will work, some won't. I still believe that in the long run, it's beneficial for direct players and so on to be in a steadier market, which is less focused on new business pricing to the same degree. So anything that takes the sting out of that is net positive in the long run. But in the short run, as I said, behaviour takes time to change. So I don't think you see that. In terms of what you're seeing on the brands, we are beginning to position the brands in slightly different ways into the market, and we will kind of fine-tune that as we move forward in terms of both pricing and sort of service and product over time. So we haven't overnight switched all the products and gone from, A to Z, if you like. But those things will evolve as we see and look at the market and how it's developing over time. I think in the early days, you're seeing, naturally as a result of the pricing positions, you're seeing different brands pulling in different places and different ways. So Darwin's pulling harder in some places, Priv in others, Churchy in others, so on and so forth. And at the moment, we are not pushed hard in direct because we want to see, it's much more important in that space that we see how the market's responding before we decide the price point. So we wouldn't have expected that to be pulling hard in Q1. So beginning to see some differentiation, plenty of opportunity to expand that further. Seeing a drift away from consumers kind of switching. Time will tell whether that's a permanent effect or not, and to what extent it affects the distribution channel mix. I can't remember if that was all of your questions.
The final question was whether or not switching on the brand marketing in Q2 is a kind of a positive indicator of how you're feeling for the rest of the year.
Sorry, I've got it. I'm going to go for yes and no. These things are set ahead in timelines. It's a reflection of when it's chimed, if you like, for when we think our pricing models give us greater power in the market. So to that extent, I've said to you before that we've got pricing capability coming in through the back end of Q1 and into Q2, and the marketing begins to step up as we go through Q2 as well. So to that extent, yes. It's not really a reflection of what others might or might not be doing in the market at that point, because you've got to place your bet a little bit earlier than that. So.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Our final question this morning is from Phil Ross of Mediobanca. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Just one left from me. It's a pricing question, but it is slightly different. If I go back to Q3, which was a long time ago now, you talked about focusing PPR on repricing shorter tenure customers, sort of implying you've done a lot of work on the longer standing customers, although I think that was more the case for home insurance. Just wondered if that prediction is bearing out to be true so far this year, or is maybe the market behaving sort of differently to what you expected for different tenures? Thanks.
I'm trying to think if I can even see the tenure question in that sense. I mean, what I was saying at Q3, or what I've been saying, is we had over a number of years. Perhaps some of the irony of this is the start point on the pricing practices journey was what I would call outlier cases, some of which were very unfortunate across the industry, if you like, where really long tenure customers, some of them elderly, had found themselves with premiums that were, you know, that were genuinely excessive. And I think what I've said all the way along is we've some years ago taken out those tails and dealt with those kind of customers and corrected anything there. And then progressively over a number of years, we've kind of tightened the limits on that into more further and further into the core book. So you've been all the time tightening on that, you know, kind of narrowing the distribution of pricing, if you like, is the best way of describing it. And so by the time we got to Q3 and we were making conversations last year, really the work on the tails, as I say, had been done to align them with, you know, everything else at the five-year point. So anything beyond 5 years is sort of in the same margin bucket. So the work at January is about levelling out the first 5 years tenure. So that's effectively what we were saying. I don't think we're seeing anything different. I mean, it's very early days to be able to see what's happening in specific cohorts by tenure, that degree of granularity. You've only got, still a couple of months' data in that sense. So I think it's very early to see, but I wouldn't anticipate any dramas happening through tenures. I think what you're more likely to see is adjustments through different segments and people focusing on different segments, and maybe those two things are kind of linked to where people's value is, which could be linked back, you know, tenure to a degree. But no, I think shorthand is I'm not seeing anything dramatic in the market that is surprising. You're seeing some players playing more aggressively in some places than others, but nothing that you can pinpoint to a particular feature.
Okay, thanks for the detail.
Brilliant. Is that the final question, Phil?
That is all of our questions.
In which case, thank you all for joining us. Thanks for the richness of your questions, because I know there's a lot going on in the quarter. We remain super optimistic about the positioning of the business and the progress that we're making. And we will look forward to speaking to you in at half year and seeing what progress the market's made. Thank you.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your line.